love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Florida, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, and today's episode is a little bit different. Today, we got the expert, Mace, and our analyst, Maurice Clarette.
Mo, what's good, man?
Hey, I'm here. Our guy went from Zoom days to no days.
The comments are going to be mad. They're going to be mad. Yeah.
Shout out to Cam. Let me start out. Cam is on his way here. He's probably not going to make this show. He was calling me while he was getting on his flight, and he had some sad news. Mike Tyson, the guy he was running his mouth about, was standing right behind him when I saw him on FaceTime. And I think Mike was whispering to him, Cam, I need to talk to you. And then Cam said he gonna call me back, but he never called me back. So for everybody's watching this, pray for Cam right now. I'm praying for Cam. You be praying for Cam that Mike Tyson did not take his comment seriously. This is what happened when you run your mouth. How ironic was it that Mike Tyson was right behind?
Nah, this is crazy. The whole thing is crazy. This is all starting off crazy. Well,
see what happened, Cam, when you take your Zoom day. You run into Mike Tyson.
Out of all man, people. Boy. Out of all people. Well, I hope he has a safe flight. Yeah. The Mike Tyson impression was crazy that you just did, but I'll leave that between y'all.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, come to think about it, we're praying for Cam right now. Everybody be praying for Cam. He should be well. But I don't know what his security can do if Mike gets out of control. The worst thing. Maury, the worst thing in the world is to get probably knocked out by somebody you can't sue for the money, right?
Yeah. But you said you could take Mike Tyson, right? Didn't the little birdie say that?
I said, Mike, this is TV.
It's TV. Got it. Noted. Okay.
Nah, but Cam should be cool. He should be straight.
Yes, we will all be in studio for the next episode, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay. But wouldn't that be funny if Mike is sitting right next to him?
It would be insane. And they probably are. Maybe he'll come on the show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, shout out to Mike Tyson.
He might come on the show.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay, so we got to talk NFL free agency. It's going crazy right now. One of the breaking stories is Russell Wilson, he signed with the Steelers for a one-year deal. What did you guys think when you heard the news? Maurice first.
Oh, I thought a bunch of things, and I see you represent with your hat, so I know what time it is, Sat.
Yeah, she's out of pocket. She's out of pocket. Put the camera on.
What colors are you wearing, Mace?
Look at this.
I'm out of pocket.
You got OVO on your Steelers hat. Like you cross-branding.
It is cross-brand. Also, shout out Nick and happy birthday to Nick. He got me the beanie. Gotta give a shout out to Nick. But yeah, duh.
Nick is buttering you up. You don't know it. I don't know where Nick is right now. But Nick has a thing. For those that don't know, you stay free of this guy, Nick, man. Nick got a thing for chocolate ladies, man. I'm hating on you, Nick. I'm hating on you. Nah, I'm just playing.
I'm dead.
Nick, edit that out. Nick has a thing for chocolate ladies, though, you know?
Who knows?
Put the camera on Nick. Ladies.
Who knows?
This is Nikolai right here. Nikolai, the ape from Wall Street. What's that? This hat. I'm not understanding.
It's a crossover.
It's a crossover?
It's a crossover. That's okay.
You've been going viral, Stat.
How?
I'm not going to get into it, but you've been going viral. I said, is that Stat?
Base is ready today. Base is ready. We're here to talk about Russell Wilson.
Let's get to Russell Wilson. Hey, Mo, what's up with Russell Wilson? Is this breaking news to you?
Well, I'll say two things. One, I probably see the same picture you seen, Mace, when you said, is that Stat? So I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It go down in the DMs. Yeah. It go down.
Hold up. No, back to Russell Wilson. I ain't going to throw you under the bus, Stat.
With friends like these, he hate enemies, right?
No comment.
Let's go.
No. So it was a few things when I thought about Russell Wilson. So one, I don't know if I told y'all, but I'm a Browns fan, but I'm a huge Mike Tomlin fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my love for Mike Tomlin came from when I was in prison. I knew nothing about Mike Tomlin, but this dude, this was 2008. He actually wrote me a handwritten letter and was just encouraging me, even when I was in prison, man, just to get my life back together and all of that. And so always tell that story, because, you know, he didn't have to do that, never played for him, never met him. But from a human standpoint, he did that. The second thing I'll say, when I heard the news, I said it might really be the best thing for Russell Wilson to get out of Seattle, get out of Denver, and come to like an area like this, the Midwest. You're talking about Western Pennsylvania, Northeast Ohio, and Western Pennsylvania, sort of like the same thing. I'm from Northeast Ohio. And he gonna come into an environment that's simple. You know, Pittsburgh, a real industrial town. It's not all that celebrity shit, not all that kissing babies and shaking hands and all that stuff that he probably had to do in Seattle when they were just winning championships, and then in Denver, the stuff that he thought he had to do. And then Mike Tomlin is really, and I say it like with all due respect, he like a nigga. You know what I'm saying? When you get around him, and he gets Russell Wilson, and I was about to say Russell Westbrook, but if he gets Russell Wilson inside that locker room and say, hey, man, just come here, play football. We'll surround you with a solid defense. We got Najee Harris in the backfield. We play in a great division, and we're not going to ask you to go out here and do what you did in Seattle or go out here and do what you did in Denver, but just come in and play in a division where we run the ball a whole lot. We got a running back here, and just be yourself. And I think, like, it's just personally, I think that it allows Russell Wilson just to get back to football, because the culture in Pittsburgh and what they have going on over there, one, is great because I love him and I love the division that they playing in. But then two, I just don't think like the whole thing will be on his shoulders to win it, because he has other pieces around him.
I think the pressure is kind of on him. I think with the team that he has and with everything he's accomplished, you go back to, let's get this correct. You go back to the time of him playing in Seattle. You go back to, I think, just 2020, he was the man of the year. So this is not far ago that he was considered a great athlete. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's just we're just in the beginning of 2024. So that's, we're only 3 years removed from that. And then when you think about the money that he got from Denver, all of the money he made there, transferring, I mean, getting traded to what's that was Denver, and then him getting to Denver and having such a subpar outing with such a storybook coach, this is pressure, because now you can blame the first time on Sean Payton, but you won't be able to blame it on Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. So while I agree with you on the fact about, you know, the town, yeah, the town is simple in Pittsburgh. It's about the Steelers, you know? And that's another reason why it could be pressure, because when you get to Pittsburgh, you got the people want to win, especially if you're supposed to be a quarterback with any kind of storybook pass or any notoriety. This would be the place to win. Like Stats Dad said, right? This is America's team. You gotta, he said God's team. Yeah, let's get that correct. God is bigger than America. And God we trust. So he's saying this is one of those teams. This is not the team that you want to go to as a quarterback with the defense that they got, right? and not perform because you won't be able to have that excuse. You got all the personnel that I think you need to win some games.
Okay.
Maurice, you can go first and I can go.
No, but I was thinking about just some of the time crunches. So I didn't know that he signed a 1-year deal until I just heard Stat say it. Mm-hmm. But you don't believe in some capacity that just signing for 1 year and knowing how bad everybody talked about you, just the whole world saying that you was over and done, and then you get a chance to go to an environment that don't really have all of those external distractions. You got a running back, like the division, the Browns were playing better, the Ravens just went on a Super Bowl run. You don't think none of that like would make a person like lock in back to that same person? You know what I'm saying? But then you have other pieces around you that don't require you to be Russell Wilson, who's throwing 40 and 50 passes. I guess that's where I was coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. But when you got a guaranteed extra $37 million coming to you, I don't know if you're really motivated. But this will tell. This year is going to tell everything. I think a lot of his legacy can be told the wrong way if this year goes wrong. Not that it changes the legacy. And I want to make sure everybody listening to me in TV land and in sports land get this correct. It's not that it will change his legacy, but sometimes you can have these years that linger on in the later times of your career that make people tell your story from an unfavorable perspective.
I just got to put on the record, I called this and it's such a beautiful thing. Like I was always saying, because I've said a lot of things about Russell Wilson. I'm not going to lie. I said that his play has declined, which to me it has. And when I said that this is going to be Russell Wilson's redemption year, everybody was looking at me crazy. They're like, he doesn't need to redeem himself. He's already a good quarterback. It's great that he's a good quarterback, but he needs to show that he's a great quarterback. This is the perfect scenario for Pittsburgh. He signed a 1-year contract for $1.2 million. Kenny Pickett has like $2 million. So we have $30 million in cap space to make sure. To make sure that we draft, you know, more people on our offense, more people on our defense. We already have like a good situation for him to kind of ease into. And me personally, I'd rather play under Mike Tomlin than Sean Payton. So I just think that this is the best scenario for Russell Wilson to be able to prove himself again as a great quarterback. I think that 1 year timing is going to be good for him because, you know, at the end, Pittsburgh can decide to keep him or not. Regardless, we still have Kenny Pickett and we didn't have to trade any draft picks. So we literally got him for nothing, which is like the best scenario that could possibly have happened for us.
And the system, let's not discount the system should work for him. As a football expert, you know, a brand new football expert, this is a good system. They love to run the ball, right, Pauls? And when you think of, they got some good wide receivers. So if you're a quarterback with some good wide receivers and a team that love to run the ball, this is a system that should work for you. And they got defense, and they got draft picks, and they got cap space, and they got a future Hall of Fame coach, right? So that's why I'm saying there's some pressure here. We can't say there's no pressure because he's only getting 1.2, because what he does here determines what's going to happen moving forward. You got a ball now.
Right. And I don't think Russell Wilson is the future, but he's definitely the solution because at the end of the day, we knew that we needed to solve our quarterback issue. So the fact that we could even make it to the playoffs by going through three strings of our quarterbacks is insane as itself. So the fact that we have Russell Wilson and now Kenny Pickett can kind of learn under him, you know, kind of get his positioning back on the field. I just think that this is great for Pittsburgh. But also, I hope that this doesn't, you know, tarnish Kenny Pickett's confidence, because if he's going to be the backup quarterback while Russell Wilson's on the field, I don't know how that's going to translate for us later on in the season, but I still think it's a good start.
Yeah, we're not going to make this about the Pittsburgh. I see her trying to make this whole segment extended pause.
Very realistic. I'm not like, we're going to the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. Like, I'm being very like objective. I'm like, this is the situation. This is what we need. These are the solutions and hopefully it works. And if it doesn't, it's okay because we only have him for a year.
Okay.
But you also have to call something else out too. So Mike Tomlin was catching a lot of heat from, like, they were basically trying to say it's his days over in Pittsburgh, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember everybody hearing about that talk. And so, you know, he's a businessman too. The Rooneys are businessmen, the owners of the team, for people who don't know who they are. And I'm pretty sure that they said, hey, now that Ben Roethlisberger is gone and we didn't have somebody come and step up and feel his persona and personality, that we have to take a shot. you remember, you know, God bless his soul, Dwayne Haskins was supposed to come in and he was supposed to play next. But, you know, he unfortunately passed away down in Miami. But this is, I think it's part of that where, hey, man, you have a veteran quarterback on the team. We got this far with Kenny Pickett last year. Let's see. Let's actually see what's going on with Russell Wilson. Right. It's not going to hurt for another year for Kenny Pickett to get some development and be around a vet who's been to the Super Bowl. And I'm pretty sure Mike Thomas sold it to him that way. Say, hey, man, this dude is here for 1 year and he's a little bit older and you're starting to see quarterbacks play a little bit longer. So if you sit out 1 year, like, who really cares? And maybe he helps to extend your career in some capacity. I don't know.
Right. I agree. And I mean, we'll see what happens. It was definitely important for Pittsburgh to try something new. Mm-hmm. So to see what comes out of it would be great. There's a little tweets about Le'Veon Bell trying to get back on the team. I'm all for it, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it gotta be great for them quarterbacks to learn how to prepare behind pause. What you call it, Russell Wilson.
Right. Exactly. Okay, now let's talk Baker Mayfield. He re-signed with the Bucs on a 3-year, $100 million contract. What do you guys think about his contract? And do you guys think this was a good decision by the Bucs?
Let me start this one off. Pause. Just last year, he signed a free agent for four million, right? I think it was about like $4 million in 2023. Yeah. So to start off 2024 with $100 million for 3 years and then to come back with a, I think it's about $115 million in incentives, $50 million of it being guaranteed.
Yeah.
This is a long way from $4 million. But this is what happened when you bet on yourself. This is Johnny Manziel reborn. Get paid, young nigga.
Get paid, young nigga.
Whatever you do, young nigga, get paid. This is in the words of Cam. Cam says some niggas love their wives. Nothing comes before the money. In the words of the great Cam'ron. I gotta keep my boy alive, you know? Who knows what Mike Tyson is doing right now? I gotta keep him alive right now. Who knows? But yeah, go from $4 million to $100 million for 3 years is great. That means he multiplied his net worth, like Rick Ross would say. He I don't know what the word is. Six times your net worth. What's that? About nine times the net worth. He came up.
Yeah.
And to think he jumped in, pause, right after the great Tom Brady. It's not like he had little shoes to fill.
Right.
Pause. He came in and performed after Tom Brady. But what he did do, and Baker Mayfield, you need to keep this up next year. You were out of the public. You were not in the media saying crazy stuff. Just ball, man. Turn this 100 to 300 next time. We rooting for you. Go ahead, Mo. It's on you.
No, since stat up here bringing up stats from the past, y'all know I called this earlier in the year, right?
Everybody, deja vu. We gonna call this show. It is what it is. Deja vu. Everybody is in deja vu.
Yeah, but he's the all American football player, Heisman Trophy winner. But you know, he go from walk on to Heisman Trophy winner to first round draft pick, went out to Cleveland, things didn't go as well. And then you remember he went over to Carolina, then he went to the Rams, and now he's sort of like on his own redemption and reparation tour. And really what happened was he went down there, they already had a lot of the components that were in place from going on a Super Bowl run. He came there, they didn't require him to do a whole lot. But for the Tampa Bay area, he's a great professional. People going to come to the games to see him. Excuse me. He has name. He has notoriety. They know that, you know, even if we go on a playoff run, that's good for us. We're happy with that. And I'm happy for him. You know what I'm saying? But I, like I said, I was like, I don't see who they'll get that'll come in that market, be like Mr. All Everything to that fan base. I don't think that he's going to go on a Super Bowl run, but I also don't think that they're expecting that from him, right? Maybe you get like, you know, you get him for 3 years, you sign him for two, see how things go on. You bring somebody in the draft or you trade for somebody else to bring them on. But I don't know. I'm happy for Baker Mayfield, but he definitely came up.
Yeah, he's talking, Mo, he's talking like he want to win in the postseason. In fact, that's one of his quotes. I want to quote what he said. He said, I love the coach, Todd Bowles. I love the staff. I'm happy to be here, and I want to win in more in the postseason. He actually said this. This is a quote.
That's what I'm talking about. The nigga know how to say the right shit. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, he did say we are going to win. The nigga did say, I want to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all want to win.
Yeah, I definitely think Baker Mayfield is the right fit for the Bucs. If they would have let him go, that wouldn't have made any sense to me, especially since they extended Mike Evans' contract for another 2 years. So that quarterback wide receiver connection is great. Happy for the both of them. I think, you know, Tampa Bay, I'm not going to say they're going to be the best, but they definitely have a good run for the next season.
Why you okay. don't show Tampa Bay more love? Aren't you from Tampa?
Yeah,
you say
I love,
you're not from Jacksonville.
I love Tampa. You know, that's where I grew up. But like it was black and yellow, like all my life.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
That's just how it was.
So when Gronk and them was down there, you wasn't for?
I mean, like I will support Tampa Bay because I'm 813 baby for sure. But it's always going to be Steelers. That's just what it is.
Goodness.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, where's OJ when I need him? OJ, if you're out there, you see what you started, the blueberry juice is spilling over everywhere.
Yeah. Everybody knows I love Tampa and I love Jacksonville. That's where my family is, but I am a Steelers fan. I made that very clear. You know, let me see. Okay, so moving on to the next quarterback, Kirk Cousins agreed to a 4-year deal with the Falcons. The deal is worth up to $180 million. Do you guys think Kirk Cousins was overpaid? Maurice, we'll let you go first.
Now you see what I got back there, right? Hey, that's in the spirit of Kirk Cousins, man.
It is what it is.
No, we got the ski mask going back there, baby.
Robbery. Hey, you saying he robbed you?
Did he? Man, listen to me. With all due respect to Kirk Cousins, you know, he was great. Went to the Pro Bowl a few times up there in Minnesota. He's been a great professional. But when I see what they paid him to go down to Atlanta, I was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? He just came off the torn Achilles. And when I just thought about the quarterbacks that you can possibly get for that same money, it just didn't make any it didn't make any sense to me.
How much was it again?
$180 million.
My goodness. Yeah, can't hate the players, man. This is one of those don't hate the players. Hate the game. Hate the game. That boy Kirk Cousins, in a hundred of the 187 is guaranteed.
Yeah, $180 million contract, and it includes a $50 million signing bonus. Yeah, that's a lot.
But go back to what I was talking about. Remember earlier in the season or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Justin Fields, right? If I'm going to go give somebody $180 million, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who got a name, somebody who got upside, somebody who's a little bit younger, somebody who doesn't have a torn Achilles, all of that stuff. I'm going to build around somebody like that who I can go either trade for or I can become creative with getting him off the market. And I thought that, and he's from, I'm pretty sure he's from Georgia. I don't know if he's from Atlanta, but I know he's from Georgia.
Yeah, he's from Georgia.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to get him. I'm not going to get Kirk Cousins. And that's with all due respect. And Kirk Cousins, this isn't no slight at him. But if I'm going to give somebody $180 million, I'm going to get somebody on the front side of their career who just need pieces around them, right? And they got the good tight end down there. They got Bijan Robinson and the young wide receiver. So I'm going to build with those guys when it's time to just take my team to the next level. I'm not going to get Kirk Cousins. But then also, this is the head coach's – this is his second head coaching opportunity. I'm wondering if he's going for, like, the more secure, stable – veteran who's been to the Pro Bowl sort of like offensive setup rather than somebody like Justin Fields who I wanted him to get. I wanted Justin Fields to go down there. That's why I'm kind of like mad and salty, but also surprised.
Mo, I don't know if I agree with that because he could have found another Pro Bowl. Kirk Cousins wasn't the only Pro Bowl that was probably available, especially at that number. They could have done a three-way trade or something crazy to get somebody better for that. And especially when you think about they got the young running back, you want to put him with somebody young that could actually work better with him, I think. But no slight to Kurt. He got the bag. Let Kurt enjoy his bag.
He can enjoy his bag, but you know how y'all have been talking about robbery? That's exactly what that is. Shout out to Kirk Cousins. I think he's a great person. I'm not going to say he's a bad quarterback because he's not a bad quarterback, but I just feel like he hasn't proven enough to be having a 4-year contract worth that much in Atlanta. This doesn't make sense to me. And he's older. I just don't think that decision made the most sense. Especially like if we're being completely honest, like I was seeing Justin Fields as an option for Atlanta. Like he is a younger quarterback. Like he has a lot more ceiling to prove himself rather than Kirk Cousins, who like Maurice said, just came off a torn Achilles, is I think 36, a lot older. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Sound like y'all hating on a nigga. This sound like more of that the 90s is over to me. This is what it sounds like.
I mean, I started off with he seems like a great person, but
it sounds like the 90s trend is over. Young niggas hating on the older niggas is crazy. A young hater is crazy.
Think about it this way. You just spent $180 million and you have a quarterback heavy draft. You can go get you a younger quarterback and you can go spend that money on other ancillary pieces. That's what I'm talking about, right? Or you could have got Justin Fields for part of that. But you said he's 36?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could
have. I'm not going to spend $180 million on a.
You could have gotten a quarterback and two other pieces with that 187.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
And made a really strong statement.
What I think happening though, people getting this whole thing with Tom Brady playing till he's like 40 something. I think that they actually thinking that goes for everybody. But sometimes we just have like, you know, people who are outliers who play long beyond their prime. And those are for those people. But, you know, you're 36, 37, 38. And I know Sin going to kill me for this tomorrow. But you know what I'm saying? Hey, every time I say something about age, Sin hit me up in a DM. Was like, Maurice, you can't be the age police. But I know for a fact that, you get older, man, you just slow down, man. You ain't the same as somebody who's 24, 25 years old.
Nah, don't say that to Drea. She hasn't slowed down. She's still making it happen out here. Shout out to my people.
Shout out to your people. Okay, before we go to break, just one more follow-up question. Do you guys think that the Vikings should have kept Kirk Cousins, or do you think it just made more sense for them to let him go?
Oh, I think they made the right decision. They probably looked at it the way that I just explained it. He's 36. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Yeah,
they were
they probably feel like they got their best years out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they just say, hey, man, you know, if you're willing to pay 187 for him or 180, whatever it was for him, go ahead and let us go in this quarterback heavy draft and let us save that cap space to get some of these other ancillary pieces that'll get us to in playoff contention and then eventually to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were definitely not trying to make that nigga the franchise tag again. I know somebody his wife was telling the owner of the Vikings, if you give this nigga the franchise tag one more time, he got to be out of here. It's boys to men. We're at the end of the road on this. He got to go.
Okay, y'all. We're going to go to break. And when we return, we will discuss Saquon Barkley. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about toxic. For lawyers and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall, oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about it. She wanna be free. Why am I in this woman?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Clippers will play the Timberwolves. Underdog Fantasy has Kawhi at 7.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower?
Who they playing?
The Timberwolves.
Ooh, that's a goodie. Higher.
Okay. Paul George is at 5.5 rebounds. Higher or lower?
Wait, I got to tell you what Cam would say.
Okay, well, we can't. This is actually great. This is great. Cam, Kawhi, 7.5 first quarter points, higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher?
Yeah.
Okay. Paul George is at 5.5 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower? Mace?
You're supposed to go Cam next.
You just answer Cam's. So now we're at Paul George.
Oh.
Now it's you. Get back into character.
Okay.
Paul George is at 5.5 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Okay. Cam?
I hate to agree with Mace. Higher.
Okay. And Anthony Edwards is at 30.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
How many points?
30.5.
Higher. He's been balling this year. He's been balling this year. And let me say something to you niggas.
Pardon me. Okay.
Shut up in the background.
He does not say that.
What you were saying against that?
Anthony Edwards is at 30.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Okay. Mace?
Higher.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. Okay.
Hold up, Stat. Y'all niggas want to go to the Super Bowl? Use code CAM. Use code CAM. The Super Bowl is already over. If you got any plans to be at the NBA Finals, code CAM, Underdog Fantasy. Subscribe.
Beautiful. Okay, we are joined back with our analyst, Maurice Claret. Okay, so what is you got to rate Mace's Cam impression 1 through 10 before we even get into the question.
Hey, we going to go with an 8 on that one, but hey, stop. When you said, pardon me.
He always does that.
Yeah, pardon me.
Shut up in the background.
Go ahead.
No, it'd be the cop. Like, pardon me.
Hey, hey, they was killing me for the. They was killing me for a smoke detector when it kept going off.
Yeah, y'all just know we definitely see the comments. We take you guys's, you know, opinion to the heart, and we get it done. So appreciate y'all. Okay. So it seems like Giants fans are a little upset after the Eagles got Saquon Barkley. In response to the news, Tiki Barber said, "Good luck, you're dead to me," in response to Saquon Barkley moving to the Eagles. So thoughts on Tiki's response, and then do you guys think the Giants made the right decision? Maurice, we'll let you go first.
Yeah, man. My honest thoughts were, I was like, man, shut the fuck up. Right. And I was so serious when I said it. It is two things, right? And I was trying to say, I said, man, should I tell these people how I really feel? Now to say, yeah, because it's like needed to be said. And Tiki Barber reminds me of like those athletes when they're done with a team and they think they got a fanboy for the team or say what they think other people want them to say. And when I seen him joke on whatever the podcast, the show or whatever he was on, he like cut his eyes over at the other guys who was on the show, like basically doing it for their approval. And I just started thinking to myself, like more on a serious level. But I was like, man, when you play running back, you know, dudes don't be really getting paid like that anyway. And you always hear about like running backs getting fucked out of their money. That's like Le'Veon Bell situation where, you know, he was trying to get more money that he didn't get it because the shelf life is so short. But this dude, Saquon, actually had went out here, created value for himself, worked through injuries, got back in. Now he's a valuable dude. And then I start to think about like just other random shit where you'll have somebody who play a position before you. And I'm going to go a little bit off road, but I'll come back on. But you'll have somebody who plays a position as you, and they'll come after you, right? And that person will be getting busy, and they end up taking up all that space and all of that fanfare that you once got, and you hate to be in a room with them because that person begins to take up the whole room, right? And so when people say, like, little slick shit like that, I don't just take it as just like he was just saying something as a joke. And that stuff comes from, like, a deep-rooted place, right? And, I, like, when I heard it, I was like, man, just shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like people like him, he like, you know, like those type of guys, they be thinking like the black dudes who feel like that they got to be like white around their white friends or shit on black people around their white friends. And I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it too serious, but I've been around. Like, y'all don't talk about it. That's why you laughing. Like, you know,
what you call them niggas, Mo? What you call them kind of niggas?
Niggas. Just bitch ass niggas, you know what I'm saying? Or Uncle Tom's, coons, whatever the fuck it is, you know what I mean? And I just like, you know, you like, but he's one of those type of dudes, right? You know, like he get around his white dudes and feel like he got to shit on niggas just to fit around white dudes. And like, I don't know, that always rubbed me the wrong way. And I just always resented black people who felt like I got to be white around white people, or I got to like suppress my shit, right? Like, there's never a time in life where white people feel like that they don't have to be white around black people, right? They just become white. But somehow, like, niggas get around white people and think that they got to be white to be accepted amongst white people. And I'm not a racist, like y'all know, but I don't know. That was my little rant. So I didn't want to say that.
Maurice, whenever somebody have to say they're not a racist, that's a red flag, but I'm going to keep going. No, I think when it comes to Saquon Barkley, I think shout outs to the other guy that left the Eagles that allowed him to get to the Eagles. I think he went to the Bears, and because he went to the Bears, it left this running back spot open. Now, when I think of Saquon, is it a foregone conclusion now that the Eagles will be in the playoffs? They're far better than everybody else in that division. I mean, it's only the Cowboys, the Commanders, and I mean the Giants. It's so stupid to trade one of your best players to a rival team. I can't think of nothing dumber than that. You know, I know Saquon had a couple bad years. Like, he had a couple years he struggled because he was hurt. But the first year, he was the offensive rookie, you know, of the year. And then he comes back those next 3 years and struggles. So I think they probably, like, thought that his best days was behind him and they wanted to move in a new direction. And I'm glad to see that the Eagles is going to capitalize off this. We don't have to fit them in Title Town, but they will be much better.
So his contract with the Eagles is a 3-year, $37.75 million contract that could be worth up to $46 million and includes $26 million fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
Regardless of what anybody says, he's getting that back.
Yeah. Where's OJ at right now? OJ, they're paying the running backs. Like, you're asking. They're paying the running backs. OJ, wherever you are, I'm still repping. Listen. Your boy Saquon got the bag. OJ, you got to come here and be a part of this. I got the blue glasses on for you. You know? Not for you. Pause. That's crazy. Got the blue glasses on because blueberry juice ain't here.
To that point, and like, shout out OJ, of course.
Shout out to O.
But yeah, everybody hating, like, obviously the team and people who are fans of the team are going to be upset. But like, at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. Eagles are in a lot better position, if we're being completely honest. He's 27. He got the money. Shout out to Saquon Barkley. I don't like the way that Tiki Barber had to come at him like that, talking about you're dead to me, because people just get real comfortable behind the phone. Because you're dead to me is crazy. Like, those are, there's just certain words that are like,
that's like, you divorced them, right?
Like, it's just real, like, Like, that's just not something you say. Like, there's just certain verbiage. Like, we had an example, and I can't think of it right now. Just certain things that you shouldn't say
to
people.
Is he Generation Z?
Saquon Barkley or Tiki Barber?
Yeah, I don't think so. This is getting crazy. This is why people are done with the 90s.
We're going to get into that.
This explains.
I definitely got to hear y'all's opinion. But yeah, shout out Saquon Barkley. He's getting his money.
Yeah,
all these people hating. Y'all can hate. Like, he's good regardless. Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah. So to Mace's point, yes, people are saying we are done with the 90s. So if you guys haven't heard, it's trending on TikTok and a lot of other social platforms right now. Basically, people are going back, watching the old games from the 90s and saying that the 90s were actually overrated. So they're saying MJ being the GOAT is flawed because the shots and defense were bad and that MJ did not have a left hand. So people are looking at the clips and are not impressed with what they see. So what do you guys think about this entire debate happening right now?
This is a classic case. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen, of dumb and dumber. Listen, to say you're going to take one quarter of MJ and try to run this narrative, this guy, I don't want to say the name, but this got an agency written all over it. This got an NBA player written all over it. In fact, this is a great marketing strategy for that NBA player, hypothetically, in that agency, hypothetically. And I think you know exactly who I'm talking about, Maurice Claret. I know you know exactly who I'm talking about. I wish Cam was here. Cam, where are you at right now? The 90s are over. You know, we're getting money in a different generation. So if you want to throw away the 90s, it wouldn't make me no difference. But stop wearing Jordans then. If the trend of 90s is over. All the niggas saying this got Jordans in their closet. Do you wear Jordans?
Yes.
Do you have Jordans?
Yes.
So you will have to throw your Jordans away. You will have to burn them Jordans like they burnt LeBron jersey when he left Cleveland. You will have to get rid of them. Like Adidas wouldn't get rid of Yeezys. You're not going to get rid of Jordans. So the 90s is never going to be over. Get over it. You're Adidas. The 90s is Yeezy. You can't leave Kanye. And as crazy as you think it is, you can't leave him. Maurice, I want to hear your take. Because I got more to share. The 90s is over. The 90s include Shaq. The 90s include Kobe. Are you getting rid of Kobe's? So if we get rid of Kobe's, we get rid of what else? Usher, there's no moonwalking. There's no humping you dry. There's no roller skates. There's no Super Bowl without the 90s. You don't want to see these niggas perform at the Super Bowl. Can you imagine these niggas? If you get rid of the 90s, that's all the stuff you look up to. That's Beyonce.
Yeah.
Get rid of the 90s. That's Jordan. Get rid of the 90s. That's Usher. Get rid of the 90s. You want to keep going? Tupac, all of the stuff niggas try to do on Halloween. That's all the 90s. Then we'll just have a bunch of emo niggas running around with their lashes done, waiting on their nail tech and their lash tech before they perform. With their girdle showing.
Okay. What does that have to do with Michael Jordan having no left hand?
I just heard the 90s, and I'm not going to lie, I got triggered. Like, at least I'm honest. I heard 90s,
no,
and I got triggered.
No way for me to transition
I got triggered. See, that's what it looks like when you get triggered. He's not even on the point. But Michael Jordan didn't have a left hand. Of course Mike had a left hand. You know how some people, you know, you could beat all right hand. You don't use your left hand. He was playing against them like kids play.
Maurice.
I got triggered, bro. Forgive me.
Hey, man, listen to me. The video I seen, it was just another sassy-ass nigga, man. And he go through this whole process where he's editing the film and going through these clips and bitching. And so you can take anybody's basketball career over a span of any time and highlight all of the bad takes and the bad clips, right? And then you can compare it to now. But even to go out your way to do that is just still like sassy-ass shit, man. And the 90s is what made everything what everybody like. And I'm being biased because I came up being influenced by the 90s. But my man was trying to hate on Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah, yes, he was.
So he was sassy doing it. He's part of your generation stat. That's no knocks to you. But maybe you can explain it better as to how this thing became trendy and right. People began to share it. And you share your thoughts with us. How do you feel about the 90s stat?
Well, so my thing is, and like this is just always how I've been raised. I don't think I'm like I 1000% not to call them elders, but like I respect my elders. Like this is how we are where we are now. And I'm super big on learning things and going back into history and understanding why things are the way that they are now. So I'm not knocking the 90s at all. First of all, I love 90s music, love 90s everything. Like that's stuff that I'm going to look into. But it's just really a way to solidify the MJ versus LeBron debate. I mean, a lot of the people that say, you know, LeBron is their GOAT probably have never even seen, you know, a 90s full game. So now that they're choosing one game or whatever, you know, whatever they are deciding to watch, to them, that's enough to say like, okay, the 90s are trash. We're done with it. You know, LeBron's my GOAT, which also doesn't make sense because from listening to you guys, obviously I was not born in the 90s, again, showing my age. When you guys tell me, you know, it was an experience that you had to just be there, that's one of those things that I fully understand. I'm not going to knock and we'll be like, because I wasn't there, it didn't happen. Because I didn't see Wilt do 100 points, it didn't happen. Like, I'm just not that type of person. But on the other side, that's probably their argument. I don't think it's the most valid argument. Now, the clip does look kind of crazy because they were like, if it did happen now, you know, everybody would be. But that's also, you know, the birth of social media in general.
That's so. Narration. That,
yeah.
I think I was one of the first people to use that statement about in the context of how people change people's views with the word narrative.
Yeah.
You know, you could put something out there explaining it a certain way that make people look at it a certain way when that's not actually the truth.
Right.
Because when he's making this point, this is also the only player I remember going three-peat twice. So if he goes three-peat twice with the same game you're trying to isolate, then that tell you how great he is if he was able to shoot off the backboard and do all of this and still three-peat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Even just to even like relate it to music, for example, like that's like me, for me going around, running around saying, you know, Chris Brown is my GOAT over, you know, Michael Jackson. Like, where do you think the influence came from? Not saying that he's fully influenced by MJ, but obviously that was everybody's here. I think, and there's levels to it.
But see, to show that I'm not biased, I think Chris Brown danced better than Mike and he danced better than Chris Brown. I mean, better than Usher. Being a person that...
Wait, restart your sentence again.
Let me say it again. I think Chris Brown danced better than Michael Jackson and danced better than Usher. But he's not a better artist than Michael Jackson. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So to somebody that's... like, because you got to think about it. If, and I'm speaking as a person that lived to see all of them at their height. So I know what Mike looks like, at his height. The spins that Mike do, the dance moves that Mike does as a performer. Yes, Mike is held like as the GOAT of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm not changing that. I'm saying dancing wise, there is not a move that Mike can do that Chris Brown can't do. But there are several moves that Chris Brown can do that Mike would not be able to do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that.
You ever saw Mike flip?
No. And all I right. get what you're saying. No, because like unbiasedly, like Chris Brown is one of my favorite artists. He can dance. He can see, like he can do it all. But comparing him to Michael Jackson, like.
Yeah. So what I'm further trying to expose to you is that I'm not a biased person.
Yeah.
So I deal with eliteness. Like I like things to be done on the highest level. So I've seen people do it on the highest level. I know what Mike looked like at his highest level. I've seen Chris Brown at his highest level. And I'm saying dancing wise, there are moves that Chris Brown can do that Mike cannot do. And Mike was hitting those moves sharp. Chris Brown can hit those same moves. If you put like they had Usher on stage with Mike and Usher was right there with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If Chris was standing there with Mike, it would look like Chris was actually doing those moves a little bit. It sounds bad to say better, but he could.
Yeah.
He has the ability. Because what you're given an ability is not what you work for.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's people that have ability that they didn't work for, and then they got talent that they worked on.
Yeah.
Mike was naturally gifted. Chris Brown, dancing-wise, was gifted a little bit more than Mike.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm still going to put Chris Brown second. I think he is definitely up there.
We're not talking about songs.
No, I know you're talking about dancing, but I still just feel like it's two different categories for two different eras.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
And
I think Chris Brown is up there, especially for this era, but comparing him to Mike dancing, just dancing-wise, even still, that's like
and the reason why people see it, because it goes into branding and narrative like I was just sharing with you. With Mike, it's the glitter glove. It's the glitter socks. It's the Jerry curl. It's the iconic outfits. When you look at Chris Brown, it's like he got on a snapback with a t-shirt on with some regular jeans.
Right.
But talent-wise, it's the same talent. But because it's packaged.
Yeah. The theatrics are important too, though.
That's what makes you look at something as bigger.
To this point, why is what they're saying, just because I got to see where your head's at, why is what they're saying about the 90s wrong?
Well, the reason why it's wrong, because if you're saying you're over the 90s, then you got to stop jacking it. Simple. Then stop wearing 23, right?
Yeah.
Stop. Do you hear Jordan name more in songs and Pippen, or you hear LeBron more in songs? Who do you hear more in songs?
Jordan.
All right. So if you're going to say it's over, you got to refrain from using a lot of that stuff.
Okay. Maurice, I would love to know your opinion.
Need a new vantage point.
Oh no, I was a little bit harsh earlier, but it's like anything else. It's two things that scare me, right? We're in an era where you can, whether something is right or wrong, we're in an era where you can get a bunch of people to just sort of like what May said, just establish a narrative that may not necessarily be true, but it becomes a popular thing. And I know that that doesn't necessarily fit all of what we're talking about, but this is a thing where you can just run with the narratives. And if a bunch of people say it, then they believe it's right. Right.
Yeah.
That becomes a scary thing. Another thing within this, I get it. You young and you want to think that you come up within the best generation, and anything that you can do to take shots at whoever star, their GOAT or whoever it is, you're going to do it. So I get what the young dude was doing it. You know, and then sometimes I just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I'll be like, man, niggas are sassy today. Then some days I forgive people and don't even make mention of it. And this was just one of those days. I was like, man, niggas be sassy and just saying stupid shit. And they get these dumbass friends started. And this is one of them.
Yeah, they're disrespectful. They're unruly. Like, I'm smart enough to know the best female singers did not come from my time. I can acknowledge that. They were way older than we were. I live to see people to say, okay, the best rappers came from that time. I'm smart enough to know the best basketball players did not come from Jordan's era, but Jordan is the GOAT. You get what I'm saying? I can think of a bunch of small forwards that was better. I could think of a bunch of point guards now, even with Stephen Curry. You find me saying that Stephen Curry is right there with Magic to me if he gets another ring. I'm putting a pass Magic. So I'm all for the changing of God. So I'm all for that. Like, I even believe in hip hop. They need new gatekeepers. And it looked like we're moving in that direction. I'm all for new and change, but I'm not for niggas riding the coattail of niggas and then getting to a place and trying to stun on the niggas you was riding the whole time. I don't like that. It's like when I first started, not doing music, people would come, oh, I love you, this and that. You see the nigga in a year from now, he think he better than you. Nigga, I was just telling you everything to do. Now you're better than me. Get out of here. I don't like niggas like that. And there's a bunch of rappers that do that. You the GOAT, you da 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 this. And then you see a nigga in 2 years, he get one hot record. And now the nigga think he can throw rocks at the heavens, nigga. Can't throw rocks at the heavens, nigga. That was killer. You can't throw rocks at the heavens, nigga. Your rock won't make it, nigga.
So, also regarding the topic, I want to get you guys' initial thoughts and reactions to some of the comments. So, somebody said that the 2016 Chino Hills is better than the 90s Bulls. And then somebody is saying also that basically MJ is like a glorified Jaylen Brown. I just got to, for the people watching, so you guys are up to speed with what is going on.
So now this
is a whole debate.
Jaylen Brown is equivalent to Jordan. Now, let's have that conversation. Because if I was going to compare somebody today to Michael Jordan, it would not be Jaylen Brown. You know who I would compare him to? Who shows sparks of that? Pause. Anthony Edwards. Not just on the resemblance, like the way they approach the game, the way he attacked the rim, explosiveness. Mike had a lot of mid-range game that made him unstoppable. He was a high jumper, but you rarely see high jumpers with a mid-range game. You normally see, even today, right? You see Kevin Durant shooting from three. You see LeBron shooting from three. Or you see him running to the basket dunking. You rarely see people with all three levels. The three, the mid-range, and can attack at the rim. So that's the first thing. I would dispel that. Not Jaylen Brown. Let's go with Anthony Edwards. What else did they say that was off the chain?
The 2016 Chino Hills were better than the 90s Bulls.
You see, this is what happens when light-skinned niggas' mom let them go on the internet. This is
crazy.
I be trying not to be disrespectful, but sometimes when you're telling the truth, the people that are not used to the truth is going to be offensive. Chino Hills, I'm not having that conversation. I'm an expert, Mo.
But
this is yours.
This is what I'm talking about. I don't know if this started off as a joke with him, but Michael Jordan.
He's definitely trolling right there. He's definitely trolling because that's a trigger. I was about to be triggered. Forgive me, light-skinned guys. See, because they came against us, pause, and then it made me go after somebody who's not going after me. That's what a trigger does, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm apologizing to light-skinned people because they didn't do nothing to me. Light-skinned guys ain't do nothing to me. And now we on to this because of this. So I'm going to let you handle this, Mo. This is all trolling.
Nah, it's just, when you think about Mike and his impact on culture, his impact and his mentality on the game. And I can't, when I look at people, I look at fully what they represent and what they actually mean, right? Mm-hmm. And when I think about Michael Jordan, just his impact with every kid all of over America wanting to be like Mike. When he was on TV, every kid running in their house and wanting to be like Mike. The impact of his shoes, the impact that he had just with business and basketball. You wasn't talking about no niggas getting no $38 million back in 96 for 1 year of basketball. Even the fact that that was even a thing to accomplish, him influencing guys to take the game more serious, him putting those contracts in a situation where guys can negotiate bigger numbers, just all the shit that this man has done just to the game in general. You got LeBron, you got Kobe, you got AI, you got all of these guys who come out of that, who you're using what he's done, be it with his brand that people begin to copy, how they negotiate deals. Like, I can sit here and go on and on about the impact that the man had. And it gets to a point, like you kind of say, where it goes from jokey to disrespectful. But we just live in a world where, you know, Stat said it earlier, where people just say disrespectful shit and they jokingly say it. But like, no, man, we have to do a better job of just like what Stat said, like respecting our elders and fully understanding what comes before you. Because if you don't understand what comes before you, you'll just start to disrespect any and everything and begin to operate like that. And that's kind of foolish and unwise to do. And so what starts off as a joke, everybody doesn't have the wisdom or understanding to understand things are a joke. And you can just start living your life disrespecting things that come before you. And, you know, I don't know. We can go on and on about it. But as you were talking, I was like going in like this this mold in my mind, just that thinking about what this dude meant to the game.
That was really good, Maurice. And now what I'm going to say in closing is this. Listening to you and listening to Stat and listening to this troll has taught me something today. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I never saw it from this vantage point before. And I'm going to add this to my expertise, right? So hearing them argue about their time taught me something. And here's what it is. Just like you have to respect what went before you, we got to do a better job respecting what comes after us, because that's a wise leader. A wise leader can see what goes before him, but he also, in order to prepare the future, you got to respect what comes behind you in order to be on the right side of history. So I'm no longer going to argue LeBron against Jordan, because Jordan is my GOAT. I can say this about LeBron. He's the best right now. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter who was better before. Right now, the best player on the floor is LeBron James. And he has to get better with accepting that. The past don't matter, because we're never going to play the past. We're playing right now. So you got to feel good about knowing right now, there's nobody better than me. It's the same way with music. These guys are not going to be able to ever recreate what was there. And you do yourself a disservice trying to do so. Just be the best right now. I remember telling this to a great rapper. You know, he was like, man, y'all time was this, y'all's this. But it doesn't matter. It's your time now. This is your time. And it's for you to be the best right now. So Chris Brown, the best right now. Drake, the best right now. LeBron, the best right now. I mean,
that's what it
is. What it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Mace, the best on sports, the best right now. It don't matter what niggas did before. Mace and Cam, the best right now. We're not getting into all of that old stuff and what they did, right? Because it translates everywhere. Stat, the best right now.
Yeah. He's not.
That's what we should be shooting for.
It's the realization. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Maurice, thank you for being here.
There we go.
And thank
you. Stat in Titletown.
And the expert, Titletown. Yes. Drake never sent me that hat. Drake making Steeler hats now?
You don't even like the Steelers.
It would have been crazy I walked on here with the Steeler hat, though.
Real crazy.
Shout out.
Thank you all for watching. And as always, it is what it is. Two big necks, like when they doing them 2 for 5.